Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Light, I see light. I abide under your light. Show me the way in the spirit. Order my steps before you, O God. Let the atmosphere of the spirit be upon us this morning. Do what only you can do, Holy Ghost. You are the power of God in the heavens, the authority of God in the earth. Yeah. Oh. Show me the path, oh God. Help me to see you so that I can follow after you. I want to see your face. I want to know your ways. Show me the path in the spirit. Let my feet be gathered together in one place. Let my eye be single so that I can behold your light. Help me, Spirit of God, help your people. Show us mercy. Hold our hands. Help us to rise up again. In the name of Jesus. Open up my mouth and begin to chant to you. You are the beginning and the ending. Nothing surprises you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Yeshua. Mashiach, we bless you. You are the head of this. I will bless you. Hallelujah. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. Help us. Show us the path. Show us the path. Show us the way we must walk in. Order our steps before you, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. In this second half of the year, it is important for us to begin to assess our journey so far. And to assess our journey so far, I'm going to take stock of things that we need to amend or prepare so that we can take full benefit of the things that the Lord wants to do in us and through us. There is nothing the Lord will do in any man except that which he has first done in him. And it's time for us to begin to look on the inside and see the work of God. The work of God is peace. Every time God is trying to do something major in your life, the first thing he tries to do is to take you out of the elements of struggle and come into a place of rest. And this can be the greatest challenge, because many times you have wolves and lions staring at you. telling you that your tomorrow will not be okay. So you need to come into that place of rest. I think one of the greatest challenges that the Lord has is to bring us to a place of trust, where we can trust Him blindly, that He will not leave our soul in hell, neither will He allow His Holy One to see corruption. You have to come into that place of trust. Like David, who received an anointing over his life, and for years the anointing only brought him trouble. And such a conflict. My life was okay till you called me. I was doing fine before you called me. I had just one problem. It was my inferiority complex. And I have made peace. I had found a way around it by being friends with lesser animals, lesser beings. And I was just fine. I knew that nothing serious would come out of my life. At the very best, I'll be a shepherd. But you found me. I wasn't looking for you, but you found me. And you placed your holy oil upon me. And after that, I became a wilderness person. I found myself running for my life. All of that work between the time he was anointed and when he became king over Israel was maybe close to about 30 years or more. But God didn't forget his word. He didn't forget his prophecy. It doesn't matter how long it takes. God can crash time for you. Are you listening to me? But God will not put unprepared people in positions of authority. And that's why we begin to talk about unveiling the new man, opening the channels of the Spirit, so that you can learn how to better cooperate with God. There are many things, and most of the things the Lord will ever say to you, they will be very stupid things. They will not make sense, because every time God speaks from eternity. God speaks from, He doesn't speak based on our condition. Our conditions have never made Him afraid. Do you know what God have had to go through in these last few years of the existence of the earth? God told Himself He was going to wipe away the earth, and He sat and watched the earth pass. For you to be a leader, you must come to the place where you can make difficult decisions. The quantity and quality of sin on the earth by the time Noah was born was so much that the only way God could cleanse the earth was by water. And God sat and had to make a difficult decision of what to do with his earth just a few years after creating it. And many times we find ourselves in such conflicts where we have to choose the will of God, and it's actually a difficult decision. Oh, I pray the Lord spoke to me. I know what He said to me. It's not every time God's will is easy. You don't have to make it look like you have everything all worked out. God has not told you certain things. That's why it's easy to say, the Lord said to me. When the Lord says certain things to you, you'll be gentle. We need to confirm this word. Because you know this one now, it's a prophecy that has implications. Once you open your mouth and say, the Lord said, you're on your own from now on. So when Jesus stood upon the altar and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it was a declaration of war. The best time to be ordained, the best thing about your pastoral ministry is the day they are ordaining you. And people are saying, let's stretch our hands to the man of God and bless him. And they are pouring oil on your head. And people are, let's celebrate our pastor. You stand up and face the crowd. Chai. I wish that's the way it's going to be forever, man. I mean, you are the one that said God said. Nobody heard the voice. It was you that said that out of God's busy schedule, He said to you, be my servant. And then we all gathered and blessed you. And from the day we blessed you, things started going wrong. Just because things don't align with your prophecy doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. Because sometimes people are very quick to tell you that, oh, you missed it. You must have missed it somewhere in your life. You may not have missed it. So quickly, I want to look at a third part in this series, Unveiling the New Man. And I want to just drill down. Now, when I say the new man, I'm talking about the inward man. The man that is in your spirit, your spiritual self, that is largely hindered and is not able to come out to the fore because of certain things that we have to deal with. And I mean, you may need to just get that message, I think part 1 and 2, and then you can possibly, you might get a good picture or a better picture in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, and the Lord took the man and put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it. Every time God is doing something with you, there's an intention to it, there's a purpose to it. Don't just be so excited about what God is saying to you. Try to see the big picture. Very important. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eat of this tree, you shall surely die. I asked myself a question. Why did God put that tree of good and evil there? If you know you didn't want them to eat, you don't put it there. Is that not logical? I mean, there's something about God. Every time he does something, he tests it. In research, what's what we call a test, reliability and what? Validity of a test. To be sure that if you take it anywhere, it meets the requirement. If God had not put the tree of good and evil in that garden, there will be no balance. Because as at the time God made man, evil was already upon the earth. Satan had rebelled against God, and so many things. If God did not factor the devil, there's something called factorization. If God did not factor the devil, there is no way your test cannot produce a valid result. Now, did you see that that tree was called good and evil? And this is what the devil tries to use in confusing us many times. When we want to think, but this is not the will of God. He shows you the good side of it. I can't marry him. He's not born again. Say, but Eli is going to church. Good and evil. You thought he was your husband until this other dude showed up from Canada, Australia. Ah, it's been a while. What are you doing? Say, ah, you know, are you in a relationship? Yeah, you know. Ah, look, I really want to marry you. I want to marry. I just have 3 months to do the whole thing and go back to Australia with my wife. Yeah. You thought you had God until you had 3 months. All of a sudden, like, wow, praise God. Then you call your bubba that day and it's not picking your call, and then he now calls you. I've been calling your number for since 2 a.m. You didn't pick your call. What's wrong with you? I've told you, only stick to your phone. Somebody's life can depend on it. Stick to your phone. I was trying to reach you. Your man like, ah. Hey, this guy doesn't know anything, man. Australia is calling me. My daughter is calling me. Oh, God. They're not looking at this guy. Like, seriously? You... how did God, why was I not just patient? Can you imagine this guy? Because of phone. If I call you, the number is to return the call. Hey. I mean, you are fuming, you are trying not to give him a piece of your mind. Like, what do you even think you are saying? Oh gosh, you don't know when you get married. You know this storyline I'm reading out now. My wife understands it a lot. And this guy, like, hey, hi, what's up? Are you done at work? Let's just go see a film or something. Just look at this, like, I can't remember last time you said, let's just go out. So let's pray a meeting. So let's Bible study. When you'd pray, he gag. And then you went to see this film with this guy, and the guy is just like, ah, you know, I just thank God. You know, they say, oh Lord, the Lord is doing Australia, you know. In your mind, you're like, ah, you go to me, see your life. You don't even have money. See, this guy loves God. His heart is in the nations. It's clean. I mean, we are going to a country where they don't use generator. For Christ's sake, man, no noise. You don't have to be in the hurry to iron your clothes. One of my daughters relocated here. She told me, say, for 1 year she didn't wash clothes. There's a system that takes care of those things. Hey, today is Friday. I need to quickly iron on Saturday morning so that the clothes will be dry in the afternoon. Then we iron. See, you think you are living life until you go some places. Then I realize that a typical Saturday for some people in other countries is going to the beach. It's not washing clothes. Beach. So the devil has this thing about good and evil he shows to you. If you are the one who said God is saying, all of a sudden you start having quarrels. You cannot tell him that Bolu came from Australia. You remember Bolu now? You know, he came from Australia and we've been talking. And then you, this is your own time you chose to be acting up. Showing macho. Not knowing that somebody has collected your wife. Many times you will have options of good and evil that war with your prophecy. If you are not careful, you will be seeing the good side of your decision. But every decision has implications. God knows your beginning. He knows your purpose. He knows your assignment. He knows your location. And that's why and what informs his decisions about you, about why you are here now. Some of you are here for just a short time. You probably leave the country or go to another city in the next few years. Some of you are stuck with me for life. Deal with it. You are not the one who is stuck. I'm also stuck to you. So, yes. So we must first slow down. Just enjoy the ride. I mean, not like we can do anything about it right now. God knows your location. He knows things will not always be like this. You are in so much penury now, so that you will know the value of helping others tomorrow. Go through it. Don't run out. Don't explain. Don't think God left you simply because you don't have money in your pocket. It's a face. God said that the day that Adam ate that fruit, he would die. Did he die? Because Adam still lived 969 years, if I'm not mistaken. Did Adam die the day God said he would die? Yes or yes? Yes or no this time. Who says no? Wave to me. Sincere people, please talk to me. Did Adam die that day? If you are for no, lift your hands. Amen. I want to enjoy my faith with you right now. But how come Adam was able to live for 900 years if he didn't die? David, help me. What happened to him? God said the day. He said that God is lying or God doesn't understand biology. God said the day you eat this thing, you die. So Adam still lived for 900 years. So what happened to Adam? It was a spiritual death. So all the time God was talking to Adam, he was communicating with Adam's spirit. There is no conversation you have with God that starts in the flesh. All that talk, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, was God communicating with a man's spirit. Valid transactions. Things that the Lord was laying upon your heart and you thought it was a thought. Valid conversations in the spirit. Say, the day you eat of this food, you will surely, you see the word surely? King James is the most perfect translation. Surely, you can't miss it. You will die. Adam was cut off from the life of God, but he didn't die immediately. Just because you turn off the socket where your iron is plugged doesn't mean the iron doesn't get to be hot for a while. He shall surely die. So what was sustaining Adam? Every decision has implications. He now knew what evil was. He now knew what good was. He was not limited by the five senses. Before then, Adam was not bound to the five senses. They now ruled him. And that's why everything God did in time when he sent his son into the world was to bring us to that place, reverse process, where the Spirit of God can rule in our hearts and help us to make concrete decisions. If you come to church and do stuff and do church and do religion and do all of that, and God doesn't have control over you, that's a wasted effort. God seeks for control over his sons. You are not born because your parents decided to lock the door somewhere and try something, and then later they got some report from the doctor. That was their... people don't just show up. There are no bastards in God's presence. We have illegitimate parents, not illegitimate children. So, you can have a Japhet, you can have a Jabez. Two different destinies, similar names. You understand me? There's nothing wrong with you, except that God doesn't have full control over you. And everything God was doing about the new man was to bring us to that place where we are. Our potential is not limited because of our fears and insecurities. We just have to come to that place where we trust God. That if there's something I ask from the Lord and He does not give it to me, it is because it's either I don't need it or it's coming at a later time. God loves you too much to say no to you. But God will not bypass the perfect will just to give you something. And that's why we must place a huge premium on personally knowing the Lord. There was a law of the spirit that was in Adam, and it was by that law that he was able to relate with God. The Bible says that in the evening the Lord will show up in the cool of the day, and the Lord will begin to fellowship with Adam. It is Adam's responsibility to teach his wife. When things happen, we are quick to say, "Ah!" But where did things go wrong? If you are here, you are engaged, teach your wife. There is no excuse. There's nothing you are going to say. I don't care if she attended the most powerful church before you married her. Your responsibility is to teach your wife. You are a first pastor. You have to teach your wife the counsels of the Lord. Don't assume. Even if she's a prayer warrior. I know many prayer warriors that don't know nothing in scriptures. When they pray, you can get scared. Have you seen people pray? You just remembered your prayerlessness, your own prayerlessness. You're like, and you call yourself a Christian. Their praying brings conviction upon yourself. Like, God, how did I fall this far? The later when she comes to her, I was like, now I'm just trusting God. I want to hear God clearly. Like, I mean, if I can pray the way you pray. I mean, come on, man. We are hearing things. This is no matter of her. I want to be sure. Yeah, it's like she's telling like she wants to be sure. You, she doesn't know how much you respect her. Like, I've been praying. You are praying. I say it's well. Let me join my faith with you. Because you don't pray that hard, but you hear God. You people are not understanding something. So you must not tell her that you respect her like that. Or just maintain. But I know people who pray, and the will of God is never really clear to them. So precept must be upon precept. You must place a huge premium on your relationship with God. There's a way I come into the house, and I open the door. Whoever is inside the house knows that I'm the one. Even my son Joshua knows. Because I don't knock, I bang the door. Now I notice he's beginning to do the same, so I have to be more careful now. Just come into the house. But it's a sign. It's a form of communication. He can tell that that's his dad at the door. Many times we are looking for voices. That's where we miss out. They are hearing the voice, just one of the ways God communicates. When God said to the children of Israel, He said, "When I speak to Moses, I speak mouth to mouth." What was that? How do you describe that type of communication? Like a romantic, a kiss format? That I don't reveal my will to Moses by dreams. Moses doesn't sleep to know what I'm saying. There are levels in the prophetic. Balaam. The Bible says he falls into a trance with his eyes open. That one is not dream. As in, he's looking at you. He is talking to you. He enters into a trance. He stands between earth and heaven at the same time, seeing the will of God. And you see the way he used to do his oriki. I Balaam, that forced into a trance with my eyes open. I see the visions of God. I see interface with my environment. And Balaam was not even he was not a Jewish born, but he had very strong encounters with God. Now this is not, I'm not here to tell you that one level like dream is not, because I have dreams, I have prophetic dreams, and don't let anybody deceive you. We've gone for meetings where they said if you are still dreaming, your level is low. Have you heard those things before? My brother, you that you are saying that, what, which one is that? Because most people like that, I don't know, this bad blood, that bad belly, they are not having anyone any experience, they now try to rubbish those of you. Say it's low. Your spiritual, you need to come up. You need to come up either. I say, bro, leave me. The Bible says in the last days the Spirit of God shall be poured out upon all flesh. Say, my sons and daughters shall what? They shall prophesy. They say, the old men, they shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. Bro, I think the most important thing is that God is actually talking. The only problem in this matter is that I can't tell the one that is happening to you. You speak so well. I can hear your grammar. I hear your what you're saying, but I can't see your encounters. That someone is very verbose, doesn't speak of his depth with God. That someone is very verbose, doesn't speak of his depth with God. Once you see a man that is deep with God, when he comes into a place, he's not screaming. Just say, Daddy, I'm here. Do what you want to do. And you see the Lord taking ownership of the state. Ah, that easy. That is a man God has control over. Adam didn't need to fear a lion as long as he was under God's control. The day he fell, when he saw a lion, the only voice he heard was run. And he took off. So as we journey with the Lord, we must come to the place where we gradually allow the Lord to take over our decisions, our will. Don't just react simply because you're upset. Try to give it some time and see what the Lord will really have you to do as pertaining a matter. You understand me? These are very important things. I need to rush. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. I want to show you something about the law of God. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. And this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward part. The word inward part, they speak of the spirit. The inward part. The part that is not visible. This is the new man we are talking about. Mostly invisible. Most people don't even have no relationship with this part of themselves till they die. He said, God said, I will put my law not in your mind or in your body. I'll put it in your spirit, in your inward part. And write it in your heart. And be their God. In other words, God does not lay claim to you until he puts his law in your spirit. God does not believe. It's a software. When it's coded, it takes control of the system. Of that laptop, whatever it is. You take an XP and you put Microsoft 10, 2010. It just takes over the system. That's what we call the operating system. You can't be using... I think in those days when we were in school, when Paul says he used to stay with me, we used to live together. He bought a Pentium 4. Wow. Bro, if they give you a Pentium 4 free now, I say, don't worry. I think we don't have space in this place to, you know, you just, thank you. Yeah, Pastor, I want to sow this seed. The Lord receive your offering. Take it back. Amen. You are blessed. In Jesus' name. Pentium 4, are you kidding me? Then if you even had a 2, see the way you work on campus, man. So when we go type that assignment for you, say, sure. I just put, and then you wait for the thing to boot. It's just Word or maybe Excel or something, but you're a big boy. Sir, talk to me, sir. You said Word perfect. So you, I think after 4, was there any other one? So we didn't even have. So when Paul says he brought the laptop, the computer into the room, I just looked. It was very huge. I was just looking at the thing. My wonder was, number one, even if I have 40,000, then if you have 40,000, maybe that was the range, then second Tokumbo. I won't think of laptop. I'm thinking of how I'm going to survive this semester. Paul brought the thing up. So I was watching him setting the thing up because he was in computer science, and I watched him do all of that. I was looking for the where the push button was. So, you know, you just try to behave like, okay, you know, this is awesome, this is good. In my mind, I'm like, you know, I was just playing with the thing, like, this is like, it's a lie, it's the on button I was looking for. Believe me, those are dangerous times. Those were our times before, you know, OBJ and GSM came. You're like, wow, Pentium 4. And I said, Pastor, do you know what this can do? I said, wow, tell me. Pentium 4. 4. See, that other one in the other house is 2. This is 4. I said, wow. Then you start measuring those computer language. So the thing is just, you know, you just see this code running across the screen. Like, what's that? He said, no, it's booting. Booting. Say, to come up. Say, yes. Amen. For once, you feel bad that he didn't study computer science, because whether he even understood what he was saying or not, he knew something I didn't know. And I had to deal with it that I didn't know. And behave and be cool about it. Don't lose your temper and make it look like, come, there's no space in this room. You just go and breathe something. You didn't tell me before. Hey, it's bad belle. Bro, it's bad belle. Celebrate other people's success. It's bad belle. Hey. Have you heard the saying that you don't learn driving with other people's car? You think your brother loves you. Then you want to start learning driving. Say, I want to be easy. No. You go to driving school. Go and learn there. Then when you want to perfect, buy your car. I love you, but it's not that kind of love. You understand? There's a law of God in the inward part that is revealed, and it is only when the law of God takes ownership and control over it that God can say, I will be their God. These laws were files downloaded into your spirit the day you came to the Lord Jesus. But as you walk with the Lord, you become more aware of them. God is not your God to make you happy. Deal with it. If you want to be happy, if I want to be happy, I know what I should be doing with my life. You understand me? I know what I should be doing Friday when I leave office. If I was not a Christian, I wouldn't come to church. For what? What? Why? What are they doing there? I need Sunday to take away the hangover. You don't understand me? So what are we doing here? I mean, it's for you. Boring people. You go there. Even when we are not saved, we are waiting for the reverend to say, share the grace. Bam, we are out. Till another Sunday. And if you are lucky, you get to do confession. You already know the standard answers. Go and sin no more. Sins are covered. Till another day. So, religion made easy. But God says, I don't have control over you until my laws, the programming, this is not pen 4 now, this is not M. This heaven's technology downloaded into your spirit, taking ownership. Don't fight it. Most of our pain comes because we fight the will of God. We fight the word of God. We are not doing it externally. We are doing it internally. So if God is not doing anything for me that culminates in my pocket and cash, God is not useful for me. And we have to deal with that. Romans chapter 7 verse 22. I want us to read this in the Amplified version. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. Amplified version. For I endorse and delight the law of God in my innermost self. With what? My new nature. The new nature that speaks of the new man. In other words, this is a man that is clothed in the wisdom of God. He knows the will of God. He loves the will of God. He embraces the will of God. He doesn't fight the will of God. He knows the will of God is his life. So we can have That means that I have a new nature with which I can live the way Jesus lived. Many times we hear these things, but we don't believe it. How we know we don't believe it is that we cannot see our progression in spiritual things towards that journey. And these are the things I want us to look at briefly today. Scripture says that I have a new nature. That means, for instance, for those of you who are close to me, you know I don't eat fish. And I don't eat anything from the water except snail. Now that's my consecration. It's not your problem. If I come to your house and you want to make me very welcome, and then I see fish smell everywhere, amen, I'll just bless you and I take a walk, amen. I can't love you like that and be eating fish. You understand? It's not in my DNA. It was taken away several years ago after I swallowed one bone. And I swallowed 20, two cobalt. I think those days when we used to spend coins, I swallowed money and then they had to operate me. And then after I came out of that experience, all the foods I saw first, I stopped eating them. I don't eat fried eggs with fish. They just put fish inside and all those things. And here you are thinking, oh, pastor's coming, man. We will make you feel welcome. Bro, just give me white rice and palm oil. I'll be fine. Amen. I'll be fine. Don't need to go too much stress. Amen. So ask me. Ask me. Don't go and do what what I will not be able to swallow. Amen. Simple rice palm oil with grinded pepper. I'm fine. Don't go into all that old fish thing. If you just, you spoil everything. Amen. So it's like having that nature, and then all of a sudden, it's a deficiency that I have, that I don't like such things. And something happens to me, all of a sudden I begin to like fish. It's a new nature, it's a new programming that allows me live like that because of something that happened to me. And he said, look, I endorse. It is not enough for God to put his law in your spirit. I have to approve it. I have to endorse it. In the banking world, we call it authorization. In other words, you cannot start a transaction and conclude it on your own. In banking, there's what we call control. Huh? For instance, you are bringing a transaction to me in the office to authorize, because I'm an authorizer. So every transaction should have a postage stamp, 50 naira on it, according to federal government law. There's what we call the SV. That SV means that you have checked the customer's signature and you are satisfied that it is the customer that is in front of you. So you put, there's a stamp, you put it over that transaction and then you write your staff number beside it. Because nobody may remember your signature, but if they see your ID, I have an ID 7995. I have an ID that goes with every transaction. So if tomorrow they don't know who did it, if they see that last four numbers and key it into the directory in HR, it will show my name. You know, you can't forget your ID because you can't even log on a system without it. For us. So it is not enough for the law of God to be in your spirit. You must accept it, you must embrace it. You must realize that you have everything it takes to be a success. And you must endorse it. You endorse a check by signing on it. You approve it. You must be excited about it, showing your delight. The law of God is not something to be you manage. Like God is one dragon lord that if you don't follow what he's saying, we will not make it, we'll go to hell. No, it's not about hell. He said, I endorse and delight the law of God in my innermost being. That means the law were coded and downloaded. Those files were downloaded in my innermost being, the inward man. I got to run. I'm saying this because I was having a chat to somebody yesterday, and the person said to me, the person said, how can I determine what God wants me to do with my calling? I need to know my strength, the spiritual giftings in my life, so that I can play on that side. And I said to this man of God, I said, that is the wrong question. When God calls a man, hold your calling on its own level of validity. Forget about your spiritual gift. Forget about your spiritual gift. Yes, yes, yes. I say that again. Forget about your spiritual gift. When God calls you, let your calling stand on its own merit. You are doing your own thing and then he called you. That's all. I was a farmer. I was a shepherd. I was a banker. I was a teacher. Then he called me. End of story. There is nothing whatsoever. It's not a matter, hey God, I'm not ready. Hey, when you get to when David gets to where he will meet Goliath, he will find stones by the water. But you can imagine David 5 years before he fights Goliath. Let me keep these 5 stones, so we will need it in the future. You don't know what will happen. We need to be sure so that we can prepare for economic recession. Let me keep this one. Keep this one. And when he saw the bear, instead of him to kill the bear, he's like, ah, hey, this one is for Goliath. You come, let me fight you first. Bro, the Bible says, come, all things are ready. God did not call you and did not anticipate everything you will need. So you can't be thinking for God. Let God be God. You be a man. Know that all things are ready. What this revelation does for you, it puts you in a state of rest. You know that 5 years from now, covered. 10 years from now, covered. Who you will marry, covered. Your children, covered. If God puts a woman in your space and say, marry her, and the woman decides to disobey God, not deliberately, you know, by wasting time, overtaking is allowed. I celebrate all patient men, amen, and all patient women. The Lord will come to strengthen you. But it is possible for a man to step out of the will of God. It is possible for a woman, innocently, to step out of the will of God. So when you waste my time, I will go back to you and say, Baba, that girl, she's not helping matters. How far? Say, you help me change her. I will die the way I'm going. I can't be using my anointing to manage one crisis. I have nations to take. There's no time for this. You see, the way you are begging her to marry you is where you'll be begging where you marry you. There's no time. If I propose to you, don't waste my time. We are Christians. We are not boyfriend, girlfriend. We are Christians. If you tell me yes, that's it. If you tell me no, that's it. If you tell me no, and you did it because you thought as a lady I'm supposed to say no first, I've gone. So I'm a lady, don't you know, I will say, ah. Yeah, you're wrong thing though. It's better tell me to hold on. If you tell me no, like the other lady, I said, why didn't you ask me again? I say, hey, me. I should ask you again. Why? So I said, Maka, why? Say, why? Give me a good reason. You're a time waster for Christ's sake. The Lord said to me, marry this year. You told me I should go and wait. See, some people have gift of patience. Me, I'm working out my own. You are not being cheap. Something is clear. This is the Lord working this out. And then you now want to be playing smart. With who? The Bible said the will of God is, the law of God is revealed in the inward part. If you are used to working with God after the inward man, the day you see him, your spirit will either resonate with that person or rebel. If a lady will marry you, she knows from that first day. Forget that thing she's telling you that, give me some time to pray. If a lady doesn't like you, she knows on the spot. And she says she doesn't love you, but when she came for cancer and asked her, what are you thinking? Say, hey, Pastor, see. It is good and evil working. A part of it, like the other part is saying, I'm not sure, I have to be careful. Meanwhile, I told the guy, please, I'm very busy now. It's a lie. Meanwhile, you came to me, I said, what did he say? Pastor, it's okay. Well, I don't know. I just want to be sure it's the will of God. He's a liar, you are. This love thing can make people that you think are spiritual begin to behave like babies. The day Kenny gets married, we will show a party in this church. 3 days. Say, what are you guys? You say Kenny got married. My time is up. This is serious. Oh. This is serious. Now, there are two things that hinder the flow. Because you see, now we've established that the law of God, the full intention and will of God from the beginning of your Christian journey to the day you die, have been downloaded as the law of God into your innermost being. So there's nothing you are looking for. Everything is there. Are you with me, please? Are you with me? I said the will of God has been downloaded as a file. Sometimes for you to be able to access certain files, you need to upgrade the operating system. Are you with me? And how do we do that? By seeking the Lord, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, meditating on scriptures. And as you meditate, it begins to bring some of the files that were already downloaded. You begin to see the usefulness. Initially, it may not make sense. So, there are certain things that make this inward man look very useless. Listen to me. There are certain things, are you hearing me clearly? There are certain things that make the inward man quite useless. And I'll talk about two of them. Number one, appetite. Appetite. Number two, the will of the flesh. When I saw the way we were dancing this morning, I became concerned whether I can preach this message. I had to run to a few men of God there and I said, brethren, what shall we do? This message is not good after dancing. We should have just done the cherubic thing. Ah, Bala, I saw you. Oh boy. We need a Niger Delta person in the choir. I could feel Bala, you know. Amen. And like Ego said, he said, I'm dancing my mind. Let's know those of us that have dancing problem. I know I'm part of them. It's not even a matter of prophecy. I know my problem. But, you know, as I saw Bara, I was really digging. Even Busayo yesterday, I saw where she was. I said, I'm the greatest problem of this church. I realized it yesterday that I'm the one causing problem in this church. Time to set you people free, and today I declare you are free in Jesus' name. So, Bala, you are the pastor of the church now, amen. Take us to the next level, praise God. Take us there, that place where we can learn how to dance, and you know, amen. So, I talk about the appetites of the flesh, the things that are legitimate desires, things that we really, really want. We want to get married, we want to be comfortable, stay in your own house. They are legitimate concerns. But if you are not careful in the way you manage them, they can silence the voice of the Spirit in your inside. They just notice that all of a sudden you become unnecessarily agitated. And it can be a problem. Please, I want you to meditate on these things. The will of the flesh. This speaks about lusts. Lusts. Things that we want so badly. I remember I was talking to a lady and she said, Pastor, it's like you are not hearing me. You understand? I'm saying that as I'm talking to you, I am a virgin and I want to have sex now. And because I know I cannot have sex, I feel like I'm being torn apart. Because I cannot do it, yet I want to. Because I want to get married like as a virgin to my husband. Say, yet I wake up this morning. He said, I cried throughout last night. I cried because my mind was tearing me apart. I wanted to, yet I knew I could not. So, not all laws are evil. There could be legitimate concerns. What laws does is that, number one, it can cloud your judgment. Loss can cloud your judgment. When you want something, you are not thinking anymore. You are just like, do it first, think later. How many of you know that thing? Just do it first. I know a man of God who was engaged to a particular lady. Me and he both know the man of God. So, the man of God now said, he's not sure he can continue this relationship. Say, why? He now spoke in Yoruba. I will try and interpret. I hope I can interpret. Let me see if I can interpret. For the sake of our international audience, amen. You see, the girl Help me. How will I say it? She likes work of flesh. Abi, that I'm hey, Pastor Bola, help me. She likes she to be descriptive. She lie every time we are together. She just come and be sitting beside me, be doing like this, be touching. And he's like, yeah, leave me now. Leave me now. See, say I'm tired. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness. That means something was actually happening. You know? Like, nah. See, he said, so are you saying this relationship now? We will not be kissing. Eh? I didn't say we should have sex. Ah, but let me know I'm in a relationship. Hey. So the man was like, ah, boss, how will we go continue before we die? This one that die remain now. Hi. See, I'm a fellow Shara. Uferon, that's you love. And God helps you, her name is Feron me. Yeah. We're in trouble, man of God. We need to be checking on our brothers now. And say, how are you, sir? How's your week? How's your Christian life? Because you don't know what happened in the last 5 days. So my friend Shara likes work. But as Bible said, do not wake up love until it's time. Get busy. There are dangers out there. Lust clouds your judgment anytime, any day. Because the lust appeals to the good side of you that wants to be touched, embraced. Number two, if you are in a company of men who are carnal, you will find yourself lusting perpetually. If your company are the company of men who don't value your values, who don't love God, who have no fear of God in them. You say you are classmates, you are reading together. Hey! Say you are always having lunch together when you are on break in the office. And everything you talk about is gossip, what your boss did that you didn't like, blah, blah, blah. See, if you are always in the company of men who don't share the values of the Spirit of God, of the kingdom, you will find yourself perpetually lost. And you can look at Numbers chapter 11 verse 4 for that. Lust, number three, lust always empowers the flesh and cripples the spirit. These are reasons why the spirit man can't come out. When Jesus was on that mountain, and I need to be quick now, when Jesus was on that mountain and he transfigured, it was the spirit in him that he brought to the Catherine Coleman. Many times she will come into a meeting and you will not be able to come 10 feet away from her. Because she had developed her spirit so much, and that's why we pray in the spirit continuously. Because we want to give the human spirit ascendancy over the flesh. That's why we do it. We are not just rattling off and trying to sound different. There's a purpose. Is there not a cause? There's a reason why we do what we do. If we didn't need to pray in tongues, then we won't have to. Jesus didn't pray in tongues, but we needed to pray in tongues. Numbers chapter 11 verse 34. Let's read down. Lust has killed many. Numbers chapter 11 verse 34. And he called the name of that place what? Kibrotanatava. Because they buried the people that lusted. Look for the meaning of that revelation. Kibrota. You can even cram it and convert it to tongues. Kibrota. Kibrota. Ha, tava. What a revelation. The graves. Hey! Look at Amplified. That place was called Kibrot Atava. The graves of sensuous desire. Because there they buried the people who lusted. Those whose physical appetites caused them to sin. Are you still here? Is this word from the Lord? Huh? I'm not hearing no voices now. Man. Go and read the old chapter. I'm sure you learn a few things. And pick some lessons. Watch out for those laws that war against the soul. The devil is a liar. Don't let the devil deceive you. 5 minutes after, you will remember that what you just did. I need to rush. Loss can bring unfruitfulness. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. Lust can bring unfruitfulness. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the world, and it become what? Unfruitful. Every time the Lord is relating with us, it's because He wants to give life to the dealings of the Spirit on our inside. And when you allow lust to cohabit, when you allow good and evil to cohabit, simply because I feel it, means it's validated. I mean, if I allow it, why should I feel bad? When you allow good and evil to cohabit, it cripples the word of God, chokes it till it takes out the oxygen, and then it becomes unfruitful. That means the word of God is on your inside, but of no use again. The salt has become saltless. So you are not producing fruit after the order of the word of God you are receiving. You are now wondering, what happened to the prophecy? Oh, what happened to this? Oh, all the things the Lord said will happen to you that will bring you peace. You are now struggling to keep them because the word has been choked. You have to know that as long as we continue to engage lust, sin will reign in our bodies. I look at the word reign as king. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans chapter 6 verse 12, quickly. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. You see that this issue of control is not only God. Are you with me? The issue of control is not only God. Even the devil seeks for... If the devil comes to you and says, oh, Mahata Ratava, I am here to control you. You say, hey, and you run. When it comes with sin, pleasures of sin. Have you heard some of those old time songs that we used to call carnal songs, and then we listen to the ones we hear today? I feel like those songs are clean. And these ones are like, wow. Look at the effort they put into one song. Perfect. They do all the discipline. I'm trying to remember those songs now. Maybe a song sung by Davido or somebody. I don't see the way it's shaking. It's just a four-line song, but see so much effort. Studio work. They didn't just rush out of the studio. They took their time to make it work. And you're like, wow. There's one song they sang about one girl that won him an award. You know the song. Help me. No, I don't know that one, but I don't think that's it. No, it's not recent, like maybe a year or two ago. It won one native in the video like this. Talk to me, you are very sincere. You get it down. Now you see all of that thing. Ferrari is just a car, amen. If you are rich, you can buy it. But look at all the quality that went into that. All because of control. The devil has an obligation to prosper that boy so that he can get control over men's soul. And some of you got married and you decided it was the song you wanted to play in your wedding. You Christians played the song in their wedding reception. Some even rehearsed the dance. I'd gone to join a couple at the court in Ikoyi. I went with, Pastor Desmond. I don't know if Pastor Bola was there. I'm not sure. It was at the Ikoyi court. I think Pastor Bola, my wife, Pastor Desmond. They allowed me to join them. Then I said I should sit down to eat. That was my mistake. They are actually been rehearsing the dance. When they call a man of God, sir, this is where we are now. We need to fine-tune the issue of the seats for the reception. I thought it was planning. My brother, it was dance. He could see that the bro was not used to it, but the girl insisted that they must do Ferrari. You understand? So they you could see they were just doing like this, like this, and they were going back and forth. And then I'll just tell Pastor Desmond, if I can just stand up now, see if I want to go and ease myself, and I just enter my car. My brother, we are spiritual people. Let's play smart. What the devil seeks is control, and he does it through sin, the pleasures of sin. Brother, if they tell you you will enjoy it, it's a lie. Slap the person. You will enjoy it. It is the fruit that we are talking about now. You will come out of it and not be able to come out. Have you seen people who are raped and they went back and fell in love with the person who raped them? You've not heard? It's called control. So tight. So whoever controls your lust is your king. So you can call him savior, but you can't call him master. Yeah, he'll tell you, hey, you start lying again. No, I warn you. You start lying again. I'm savior, but not master yet. Me, I know my level. I'm not your master yet. Solution. Let's talk about the solution. Amen. Quickly. Five things. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. I hope this message will sell. Romans chapter 13. I want it to sell 1 million copies. Amen. But put ye on. So I can put off. Put ye on the Lord Jesus, and what? Make no provision. Make no allowance. Give me Amplified. Let's what Amplified says. Oh, hallelujah. But clothe yourselves. So I was naked until I found the scripture. Clothe yourselves. This is my cloth, my dress. Dressing up for the occasion. Show up clothed with the Lord Jesus. Make no provision for the word is indulging. You can do this without realizing it. Now that you realize, stop it. See the technology. Thinking. Put a stop to thinking. Oh. Yeah, was I praying? I break the yoke of this thing in my life. I bind you. I destroy you. Holy Ghost fire. Deliverance. If you stop thinking, you deflate the tires. This is what's going to make your prayer easier. The fact that you are trying to stop means you will not stop. Because every time people fasted 7 days and went back and fell into the same thing. He said, the first thing you have to do is to realize that you need to put on the Lord Jesus. This is a mindset. Are you with me? This is a mindset. You won't see Jesus to wear like a cloth. It's a mindset. So you must reckon yourself dead to the things of this world. Put ye on the Lord Jesus. And after that, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't indulge the flesh. Put a stop, full stop, to what? Thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature so that you don't gratify those desires. So number one, solution, put on the Lord Jesus. Realize that the work is a finished work and that you are only coming into the supply of grace. Lord, I can't get out of this without you. I can't stop it. Every time I stopped, I went back to it. Lord, I need your help. By faith, I choose to recognize Jesus in my mentality as the head of this body. You cannot begin to confess, Lord, I have my family back. I have my resources back. Because I choose to put you at the head of all things. Head of all principalities and power. I put on the Lord Jesus. My mind is sanctified. You can now begin to drop confessions from scriptures like this. And every morning you take it like 2 tablets per day. 2 in the morning. 2 in the afternoon. 2 in the night. You begin to confess. The way to stop a thinking is to initiate a new one. So you stop a thinking by confessing the word of God and doing it systematically. Are you with me? This is the technology we are looking at now. Draw up confessions. Don't just, maybe one day I'll write a book of, you know, confessions. This, you can take this scripture and begin to confess to yourself. And you tell yourself, put yourself on the program for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and begin to confess yourself. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. My mind is not a slave to the feelings that it has, to the dictates and the suggestions of the world. I have the mind of Christ. I think like Christ thinks. I am not under the bondage of my desires. And you begin to pray in the spirit. After 5 minutes, you come back and begin to confess again. My mind is renewed by the word of God. I am a success, not just spiritually, but materially. At every area of my life, everything around me is blessed because I have put on the Lord Jesus. I am not a slave to my feelings. I'm not a slave to the things that are being suggested to me. I can say no. I have power to say no. I have power to stand my ground. I am not helpless. I have the Lord on my side. You begin to confess. You begin to confess. You may decide to write it in your tablet or in your diary. You put it in front of you and begin to confess and pray in the spirit. Confess, pray in the spirit. Confess, pray in the spirit. Confess, pray in the spirit. So solution number one, you put on Lord Jesus. Solution number two, make no provision for the flesh. Solution number three, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Walk in the spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. But I say, walk and live habitually. You see, the like Dr. B shared with us before he went home to be with the Lord, he said the power is in the routine. Huh? Look at that scripture. But I say, walk and live habitually. Live in a way that it is, you've developed a habit for your pattern of living now, or for your walk with God. He said, walk and live habitually in the Holy Ghost, responsive to, controlled, and guided by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Look, this is the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, verse 8. He said, then. He said, if I walk and live, in other words, if I organize my living by the word of God, I don't just allow today to happen to me, I program it. That's why people wake up in the night to pray. That's why those who pray in the night control the day. Because they program it. If you wake up in the night, you are going to rest with me. 1 minute you are back on your bed. And you wake up and that time you are going to the bedroom. You are ordering your steps before the Lord. You are programming the day. And some of you are especially gifted to pray in the night. Make use of it. It's not a religion. Make use of it. He said, if I walk and live habitually in the spirit, to live habitually in the spirit means that I am responsive to him. Every time he talks to me, I have a positive response. I am not saying, hey, but I am like Mary saying, how shall these things be? Be it unto me according to your word. And then we got a song out of it. According to your promises, I stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. You don't know what the future holds, but you can speak about the things he's saying to you now. So you take that word and say, Lord, I am responsive. You can bring a confession out of this. Lord, I am responsive to you. My heart is tender towards the word of God. My heart is tender towards you. I am not rebellious to your voice. Every time you speak to me, my heart yearns for you. My heart wants to obey you. I receive the spirit of obedience. You begin to confess to yourself and place yourself on this one. 2 tablets, 3 times a day, and you are taking it in. You know that once it's 2 p.m., you have to get up from your seat and go into the restroom in your office and hold your iPad. Imbaladi Masahia. I am responsive to the word of God. I am not disobedient to the heavenly voice. My heart is tender towards the word of God. I am a success because I am controlled by the power of the Holy Ghost. You come and say, hey, what does it mean again to live in the spirit? It means that I am not just responsive, but the Holy Ghost control. You know, I told you these things about control. He says, I am controlled by the Holy Ghost. I am guided by the Holy Ghost. I don't just take major decisions without first going on my knees and say, Holy Spirit, if you don't show me the way, I don't know what to do. Don't assume because he spoke to you yesterday, he will speak to you today. Like David, you must say, should I engage? Should I pursue? Should I go? Then he will say, go, for you shall recover all. You shall recover all. Go with a word from the Lord. It may not be an audible voice, but it may be a witness in your heart saying, my son, don't worry, I'm with you. Go. You will recover. He said, when you become responsive, controlled, and guided, then you will receive power not to gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. whether it's food or the need to feel loved and accepted or inferiority complex. You will begin to live above it, because the Holy Spirit will, with each encounter you have with Him, prove to you that you are His most treasured and treasured friend, possession. Every time you seek Him, you may not hear the voice, but in your heart He's saying, "You are mine. And I just want you to know that I love you." The will of God, the love of God is always bettered in our place of communion with Him. Number four, maybe I should just stop here. Put off the old man. Don't allow good abide side by side with evil. Refuse to allow it again. Refuse to allow it again. Put off the old man. Put off the old man. Give me Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Put off. In other words, for you to put on, you take off the first one. Put off the old man. Put off the old man. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Don't make an excuse for it anymore. Don't make an excuse for it anymore. These are the things that hinder the unveiling of the new man. These are the things that hinder the unveiling of the new man. Strip yourself of it and tell yourself, I've worn this dress long enough. Right now, the night is gone. The day has come. I say, from today, bam, stay on your side. Then you bring another jacket and put it on. It says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off, discard your old or renewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. You should get an amplified Bible, really. It's more like it. Who will strip? That's your job. When you take the first step, God will meet you on that journey. I say, when you take the first step, God will meet you on the journey. Do you know sometimes we are reading scriptures like this and people are thinking, hey, if they are talking about them sinners. I'm not talking about them sinners. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you, because up to now, you can't even hear God for your business. You can't hear God for your wife. You can't hear God for your family. You are as clueless as a blind bat. You're as blind. Why, brother? Why? Your wife can't hear God. You can't hear God. So what's your usefulness? What's your experience? Why are you in this house? You can't hear God. What's your job? When Lucifer came for Eve, he came when he knew Adam was not around. If Adam was there, they would not have eaten that thing, because Adam knew the will of God. Don't be fooled. The devil fights power with deception. Don't be fooled. The devil fights power with deception. The devil will never engage you directly if he knows you will combat. Put off the old man. You take that step of faith, God will meet you on the way. Because you see, the devil doesn't want that new man, because that man is clothed in glory. That man is clothed in power. That man is clothed in the grace of God. The devil doesn't want that man to step out. He will do everything to make sure you are flat on your face. So he says, strip him off. When you strip him off, you will feel naked, because you've been used to living with him for a long time, but you will feel exposed. But don't worry, just let's do this together. You just and you realize that you didn't just take off your clothes. God was there waiting with a garment of glory to cover you. But you got to take that step first. Stop thinking like people whose minds are unrenewed. Tell yourself you are coming back, and you're standing on your feet, and you are going to, in this same city where others have compromised and are falling flat on their face, you are going to stand and say, "But for God." Put off the old man. Number five. Finally, I'll stop here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy. Timothy is in the New Testament. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Give me King James. Flee also youthful lust. Many times we ask God to take away evil without planting good. It is immoral of God to take away evil without planting good. Jesus said, if we take away the spirit and the house is kept clean, he said they would come back with seven more powerful spirits, making eight, signifying the beginning of terror in your life. They will come and begin to terrorize you. Why? Because nature abhors vacuum. So it's not enough to say, hey, I'm going to put up the old man. I'm not going to live this life anymore. I'm going to live straight before the Lord. I'm going to be holy. You've got to follow after. Righteousness. What is righteousness? The nature of God that gives me the ability to stand before him and not look away. Say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Say to us in Hebrews, I think chapter 4. Say, come. Come before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy. Ask us to come. He asks us to come. The righteousness enables me to look into his face, even when angels cannot. I'm not afraid to say I'm his son. When I come as a son. When I walk on the earth, I walk as a servant. When I'm before him, I'm your son. I can look at your face and ask you, Dad, how are you doing? I'm not afraid of him, because it is the same spirit that is in me that makes me cry, Abba, Father, Abba, dear Father, my darling Father. It is the spirit of God that is in me that gives me the grace to say, Abba, Father. I'm not afraid of him. He's my Father, he's your Father. So you can come in and you can stand before him and you can lift your hands and just worship him the way you know how best. You are not trying to impress him. You are just doing what sons do. What sons do. Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. That regardless of what, how much money you have in your account, it's a journey of faith. And how you know a man that is poor in spirit is how much of faith he has to exercise in his walk with God. Say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Say, for theirs, what? Is the kingdom of God. No matter how much money you have, God will give you a project that is bigger than your money. So you always have to walk by faith. You always have to walk by faith. You always have to walk by faith. No matter how much money you have, God will give you a project bigger than your money. So you have to walk. All of us, we are just walking by faith. And hoping that we are not going to trip. And we are just there walking by faith. Say, bro, you said there, say, over now, by faith. I'm just walking by faith. By faith, you know that your next season is opening up. By faith, you came yesterday and began to praise. By faith, you came again today and started to praise. You didn't know what God was going to do, but you trusted him that he will not leave my soul in hell, neither will he allow me to see corruption. So you just praised him, faith. You are not praising because you know what he's going to do. You are praising because you know he's God and he knows what he's going to do. So you are just praising in faith. Our response, our relationship with him is just by faith. Every time we take a step towards him, it's by faith. Many times we're like, oh God, you didn't do the last thing I said. Ah, I still take it by faith. That was hey. You are getting your door. By faith. I don't see what he's doing, but I know I will understand by and by. I take another to say, come on, brother. He said, and I just keep doing that by faith. This church is entering your head. I take my chances by faith. I take my chances. I'd rather fail in this by faith. By faith. These are the things we must follow after. There is no time in your Christian journey where God will give you room to be comfortable. Yes, sir. I say there is no time in your Christian journey. The day David became comfortable, he ran into problems. David taught his son everything except the ability to war. See the end of Solomon. I challenge you. Take your walk with God seriously. There are so many things God wants to show to us on this other side. But he cannot give it to us when we rest our hope and our faith on plan B and plan C. So we must awake and put on the new man, which is Christ. Fashioned in glory, fashioned in strength. That's the spirit that can call it to him, and there will be no distance in the spirit. We are not afraid. when we lay our hands upon the sick, we are not afraid, because I know I can't heal anybody. So I come and I step out in faith, and I communicate with the disease and I command it to shrink and to die. Then I step out of the way and let him do the healing. I am not obligated anymore to want to prove a point to anybody, because I follow after righteousness. I follow after faith. I am not better than you. The only way we can work together, if we are walking side by side, strengthening each other and walking by faith. How do I know I will get married this year? It's by faith, because I follow after him. And faith says, now faith is. That means it is possible. That means it is possible. That means it is possible. Hey, the last person that did it in your family had a miscarriage. Hey, that's them. I follow after righteousness. I follow after faith. That's what the Spirit of God is saying. Bow your heads this morning.
Your word for me.
Andalaba sufre que ta kumakata.